So, a very good evening to you. Welcome to the Business and Economic segment. My name is Kanjogo Kwanyoka, Kuala and the Finest. Welcome to our second edition as we revamp and we change and we restructure our business and economic segment. And as I highlighted last week, that the business and economic segment, it is now becoming a program where you come through and talk about your product. Is our platform where we talk about our services and we created that synergy and we created that the collaboration between institution, non-governmental institution, startups, innovators, ministries, or existing business or corporate. You come through and you talk about your product or your services or your campaign or your awareness. So we are offering that time, we are offering that minute, we are offering this 1 hour to you to talk about your services and your product. And the main issue or the main thing is just to communicate to the public, to communicate to the consumers, to communicate to your clients, to get new potential investors and things like that. And for today, I'm also very excited. I'm very excited. For this edition, we went in collaboration with the Minister of Agriculture. When in collaboration with the Minister of Agriculture, you know, in many cases, colleagues, we are complaining, we are crying, we are saying this and this and that and that and that, but we barely appreciated the good work or the good little things or the good smaller things or the good bigger things that either government is doing or some private sector doing or some individual are doing. So for today, we are going to look at some investment that was done by the Minister of Agriculture. And it's not on, and the most exciting part for me is because it's not them alone. It's because the private sector came together with the government, non-governmental institution, to create something so beautiful, to empower, not to donate, where you give $2, you give some food and you run away. No. They came together and they created something sustainable to look at a certain community, to look at the ability of that community, to look at what they have, the resources, what they have, and they decide to say, okay, cool. We're gonna bring in the private sector. We're gonna bring in the non-governmental institution. We government, we are going to come this way. We are going to come that side, and we make it this happen. And to me, that is so beautiful. That is amazing. And that's why we are starting, or we are making this our second edition of the business and economic segment. So is the Minister of Agriculture, colleagues, their investment, their collective effort, their ability to create sustainable food production, ensuring food security, community empowerment, and making sure that some small or bigger step are being taken. Not all of them are going to be done at once, but at least where people are organized and they are ready, you have ministries, so you have people or you have organizations that are coming through. And I learned a lot actually listening and seeing what has been done. 1.4 million being invested, government through the Minister of Agriculture putting around 700,000. WFP putting around 200,000, NAMDI coming on board, DBS coming on board, and for them just to realize a project for these communities. And another beautiful aspect of this is that, for me, is that these are our generational farm workers. And Eagle FM has reported on this for so many times, that these generational workers are looming around corridors, and they are grazing around corridors. And today we are receiving something beautiful, that some effort were made. The private sector came together, the government came together, the private sector and NGO, to make something happen somewhere in the south, outside Stampriet, at the farm Banafe, which now became what you call an integrated food system farm, where they are going to produce their own food, where they are going to sustain their own lives, make their own, generate their own income, and create their own employment, where they do not have to work for anybody. They do not have to leave their farm or to leave their people, but they do it within that farm where they were resettled. So these are the things we've been talking about. These are the things that we've been celebrating or longing for to hear. And today we are going to listen to that. Today we are going to document that. As we say, Eagle FM is just not there to complain, to say whatever, but we are facilitating access to information, engagement, and investment flow, capital flow, or whatever needed to get to you out of there, so you make it the right decision, so certain things need to happen. So let us go listen to first of all, we listen to the ED, to the executive director in the Ministry of Agriculture, so he's going to give us the story that how did Farmer Banafay come to the level where it is. We call it a resettlement program. How did this investment come by? What has been done? How has been the process? What were the government policies in place that they facilitated, that enabled this to happen? Then we can now go to other stakeholders and we listen step by step how some beautiful work was done, some true community empowerment happened. And so it can either give you hope and also enable you wherever you are, that when you are together, when you are determined, when you are committed, and you push together and you organize yourself, I think it is possible. And more importantly, you look at the resources that you have within your community. And when you look at the resources that you have, you are able to approach whoever you have to approach in terms of funding, because you know your community strength and the resources that you need to mobilize to get to the level that you need to be. So let us go listen to the ED or the executive director in the Ministry of Agriculture as he give us the details how this Farmer Banafay came to be an integrated food system farm, how this community now are empowered. Some investment was done, 1.4 million was done, and now for the next 5 years, they have partners, they have individuals or institutions that are capacitating them and training them to realize the dream of self-sufficiency, income generation, and food sufficiency within their community.
When we are launching the Banafay Resettlement Farm Integrated Food System Project, this event signifies continued coordination between our ministry and WFP to the commitment of transforming the country's food systems. Additionally, highlights our ministry's efforts to enhance production and productivity on the resettlement farms, ultimately improving the socio-economic livelihoods of the farmers. Our mission, which is right here behind me, is really to eradicate inequitable access to land resource through an efficient and participatory land reform, management, administration, and resettlement process. The ministry has strategic actions that will enable it to improve land management services and provide excellent customer service. That's why to date we have brought our extension offices down to the constituency level. The history of this is really started immediately after independence in our quest to address the land reform challenges. The government, through the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, has developed and implemented land policies and legislation to guide the implementation of the land reform programs. Of course, before independence, skewed distribution of land and land rights prompted the government to pursue a process of land reform in order to address the imbalances that have been there before independence. So to address these imbalances, that's how the government enacted the Agricultural Commercial Land Reform Act and the National Resettlement Policy of 2001. These legal instruments guides administration of commercial agricultural land towards attainment of government reform objectives in the subsector. In 2018, when we held the Second National Land Conference, where we have really looked into the implementation of the Second National Land Conference, productivity of resettlement farms was one issue that was discussed at that conference. So the ministry was then directed by cabinet to ensure that productivity through provision of adequate water, capacity building, agricultural equipment and seeds are really invested into the projects to address the state of affairs. We have done the assessment. We know which farms are not doing very well. And of course, that's how we came to Bernafe. This project is one of the government's initiative projects to resettle landless Namibians, especially generational farm workers who were left landless and stranded in farms when farm owners sold farms to potential buyers. As such, the government through our ministry decided to resettle and initiate productive programs and valuable activities for these beneficiaries to change their livelihoods. The beneficiaries of these farms, especially of this Bernafe, are former laborers of the previous owner who owned these farms. And when we acquired this farm, we did not advertise it, we just resettled it to them. Because we believed they have been working on this farm, they can continue to do so by themselves. Of course, they started very well because everything was in place, the water and so on. And they used to work on a 4-hectare land. Of course, they cultivated butternuts, pumpkins. They grew oranges, sweet melons, and tomatoes. But then things changed, of course, because there were no available irrigation systems and unavailable of equipment, and of course lack of expertise in terms of books and management of the farms. They also had lack of markets. You have seen the orchard that was running and it's actually practically not there anymore. With the mind of the Second National Land Conference, the ministry then approached its strategic partner in the name of World Food Program. We only know World Food Program, Dr. Feather and Shafuda, but they know others. That's the power of network. We approached them with a plan to revive the orchard. We're only having the orchard in mind that used to flourish at this farm. And also to introduce new agricultural expertise using smart agriculture to obtain food security, food self-reliance, and create employment to the youth at the farm. But you know, people like Shafuda and Feather, you ask them for one, two things, they give you 10. They come up with all this mind of, I'm asking here, what is the Lucerne doing here? It's part of what is going to be produced here. So we are really going to have the smart agriculture implemented at this project. So the main objective of this initiative is to support Farm Bernafe to upscale food production to improve food and nutrition security and achieve self-sufficiency within the next 5 years. We are not saying our first fruit is going to come out in the fifth year. Actually, when you come here in the fifth year, this farm will be optimally utilized. So already we are starting to see the results, but by 5 years, we are out of this place and you'll be running this farm by yourself successfully. Director of Proceedings, Mr. Harrison, the government is still committed to establish pathways for game-changing innovation necessary for sustainable food systems transformation in order to achieve its national goals and having a chance to achieve 2030's SDGs. The food system approach advocates for uniform, systematic, and sustainable investment of resources throughout the value chain from production, processing, marketing to consumption, and recognize the roles of various actors whose interaction with each other drive the functioning of the system. A sectoral coordination is required to harmonize efforts and foster strong partnership and synergies for sustainable food systems transformation. You all know that really agriculture remains the strong sector that 70% of our population's livelihood depends on. So we have been working with the United Nations, and this also comes as a result of our National Food System Dialogues that we held on 29 July to 16 August 2021. So the Food Systems Summit identified some key challenges along the value chain, which resulted in relevant recommendations for Namibian food systems. We also held another coordinated summit named Towards a Resilient and Coordinated Agri-Food Sector from 1st to 3rd of February 2023 in Windhoek. And immediately after that, we came here in April 2023 with WFP, already making sure that we don't only talk in boardrooms, but we really come to the field to ensure that we implement those discussions of the boardroom. And WFP was there to make sure that we run with together. They were also part of that summit. So I will therefore today fail in my duties if I do not acknowledge our stakeholders. These stakeholders, when they were standing here, you hear is just diamonds. Meshafuda is telling me these diamonds now, what are they going to do on the farms? They did not bring us diamonds here in terms of that stone, but they really brought us diamonds here to ensure that our future and the future of our children and all offsprings is secured through the land that we sit on. And I really want you to applaud them. The funding that went in here to start with, just to put up things that you see, and that is the cash to buy those items. We are not talking the cash that is behind where people are, when people are lying papes, and you know, the labor is not there. Just to start with, of course, the water and everything brought us to 700,000. We have cash also that contributed to that from WFP scoffers. In addition to the labor they are providing and management they are providing on daily basis, 200,000. De Beers Group, 300,000. And Namdia, 150,000, which is committed to adding value when the produce are here with us. So with that, the ministry will continue to do the pre- and post-settlement support initiatives to ensure continuous support of resettlement and mentorship with our partners. My dear beneficiaries, when we came here in April last year, we only found here Omas and everyone, the elders. We ask the question, where are the, and of course the toddlers. When you see them, the Omas, and you see the toddlers, you already see there is someone who is missing on the farm. So we ask, where are the young ones? They said the young ones went to till other people's land, leaving the land. But we were having hope because we realized that since they have energy to go and till other people's land, they can actually till this land if they are empowered. The chairperson was also a meme. Is the chairperson here? It was another meme. But there she was. She is. She was the chairperson. But you see the transformation. The youth are back. They are taking over. And that's why we have Mr. Is it Joseph? Mm-hmm. As a chairperson. So the future is really bright. I really want to applaud you on that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I therefore urge you, our beneficiaries, this vision and objective should really enable you to reach your goals. This farm presents opportunities for rural economic transformation and large-scale food production for household consumption, and you'll be able to export either to other regions or beyond our borders. The ball is really on your hands. We can be here, we give you everything, but if the heart is not willing, everything will still come to stand still. But like I said, I'm so much motivated just by seeing Joseph taking over as chairman, the chairmanship of the project. It's really showing that you are ready to run with our stakeholders.
Yes, colleagues, that was the ED or the executive director in the Ministry of Agriculture. And she documented the whole journey of how this farm or this resettlement farm came to be. And she highlighted that when these people were resettled, there was not even an application which was needed for them to fill in anything. The ministry just got them and placed them where they and placed them in this farm. And the most beautiful thing for me is the fact how government was actually flexible and willing to listen to solutions that are beyond whatever policy or whatever they have internal. So for me, that was more beautiful to say being flexible to listen to the to NGOs or the private sector or the community themselves and to harness what they have. Because we have so many policies that are in place or so many things that we want to do as a government. But not all of them are going to work in a way that we want. But the flexibility to listen to World Food Program, the flexibility to listen that we have private sector that want to come through, the flexibility to listen to the community themselves that we this land is fertile, we have underground water. Can you government actually invest in this particular side and we will go another direction to find somebody to come through? So for me, I think why we are highlighting this today is to indicate that it is actually possible. If governmental institutions or the technocrats or the policymakers that sometimes can just go away from what is written and listen to what is on the ground, I think we can reach something. We have a resettlement program which is in place, and the government does not have all the resources which are required to implement whatever they want. So that flexibility and that journey starting from resettlement, putting people in places and actually finding a solution which does not always rely on the national budget, but finding other means without deviating from the fact that we want to resettle people, but we just do not want to resettle them. We also wanted to put them in place and to find a sustainable manner or a sustainable approach where they can feed themselves, where they can create their own employment, where they can actually do this on their own. To me, that is so beautiful, and it's so good for us to understand how the journey was and how everything came into place. And this is not just highlighted for the sake of making news. It's a case study. It's a case study, whether it's Minister of Gender, whether it's Minister of Trade, whether it's the Minister of Work and Transport, that this is a thing that we keep saying that the people are not ready, the people are not trained. We can actually bring different factors or different players to come and capacitate. The ministry did the drilling and upgrading of the boreholes. Then now all the food program is going to create a capacity building within the farm workers. So when you bring all those factors together, you de-risk the project. You minimize everything else that we say, people are not capable, they need somebody from India to come and do it. No, you bring the players, so you bring all the state machineries and the enabling factors or the enabling bodies in one space to create and to enable the communities themselves to do or to deliver what they can deliver. They do not have to leave the farm for some years. No, everything is there. You just bring what they needed into the farm. They are being capacitated within the farm. They are being trained within the farms. And as they learn, they do not have to travel from Windhoek to go to their farm and start working. They are being capacitated within the farm. The infrastructure are there. They have been living in the land. So they know their land so well because they used to go work somewhere. So when you bring all those factors together, I believe for the next 5 years, these people are going to be self-sufficient. They are going to do this thing on their own. And that's why I'm excited. I love this case study. And that's why we are documenting or went into partnership with the Minister of Agriculture to document and to listen to this case study so that we can have a departure point that there are unconventional routes to empower community. Rather than you donating food, rather than you donating something, then you go away. You create something sustainable. You go in collaboration with those that you have means to deliver certain something and it deliver the project.
And you would want to have that dream realized together. And then the ED, executive director, said, we would want to take you to two places. One is called Westfalen, I think it's Westfalen, and then Bernafe. So we drove from Windhoek and we went to Westfalen, and we ended with Bernafe here. For one reason only known to God, God said, start with Bernafe. Amen, right? Uh-huh. That's the beauty. So we stuck with Bernafe, and we surveyed this, we did that scoping mission. We went to the orchard, we went to everywhere, right? But what excited us most is the passion that we got from the community of Bernafe. They said to us,
right? We have the water. I mean, no. They said we have the land. We have the commitment to work. We have also some few animals here. But what we don't have is the water. Then he said, oh, you are speaking to the right person because the executive director of the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform is this one, right? So the ED was under pressure because she saw the beauty and the commitment of Bernafe. So today, we are here just to again share in the dream of the Ministry of Agriculture. That is to see Bernafe moving from that community that is thinking of what will I eat today, tomorrow, and beyond, to that community of saying we have produced, we have sufficient, and we are able to serve. That's the beauty of Bernafe, and this is the dream that we are sharing with you. Yes, just briefly, the World Food Program is an international humanitarian organization. And we have two mandates, and they are always displayed at our logos, saving lives, changing lives. And we do that just by way of explaining it in a very simple manner. Saving lives is when you first, maybe when you even Google, you will see us carrying bags of food, right? Be it by air, by ship, by on the land and everything else, trying to save those communities who are either affected by droughts, or they are in wars, or they are all in those conflicts, right? So we'll be buying food, and then we'll be distributing that food to those communities or victims of the war and so forth. The other mandate is now that of changing lives. Changing lives is basically meaning, how can you help the government and the communities to be producing their own food? Right? Because the aim is by the year 2030, we should have assisted the governments wherever we are found to ensure that there is zero hunger by the year 2030. Food security is our slogan. Food security, we do not want to see children who are affected by malnutrition and all these other things. So we really say to ourselves, in Namibia, for example, let us go for the second mandate, which is changing lives, right? So since 1990, we have been in Namibia assisting the government, but we were more on the saving lives mode. But then 2021, the government and WFP agreed that Namibia is a country, of course, it's a land of the brave, right? It's a country that has blessed with land, right? And most of the parts of the country, especially the southern part of the country, especially Haldab, there's a lot of water. We hear that the aquifer in Stambridge is the biggest or whatever in the world, right? So there is water in this region. So if there is water, there is land, and the people are willing to work, why can't we assist them then to produce the food? So that is why we have said to ourselves, and we have written this in our strategic plan, to say we are committed and dedicated to work with the government, support the government in under three pillars. One, human capital development, that is to say we would want to help government to link smallholder farmers to the schools so that the school meals that are provided at schools, those ingredients should not be the vegetables that are bought from somewhere else. They should be grown at Bernafe, at other small plots or big plots, then be supplied to the schools. So with that, you then enhance the nutrition value of the menu that is provided to the learners. And with that contributes to the learning outcomes, to the health status of those children. And again, because we are sourcing these products from the smallholder farmers, you also then increase the local economy. You increase the income of those smallholder farmers. Imagine if at Stambridge School, we have a garden there, right? We have put up a garden there. And they have lots of vegetables and so forth. Imagine if some potatoes were to come from Bernafe. Again, supporting that school. Can you imagine how the circular economy will be playing, and we will all be rejoicing because we are eating the food that is produced by all of us. And that is what makes us to be so excited as WFP working with the government to promote food security through the hands that God gave us, the brains that God gave us, and of course, the factors of production. So today we are very, very happy to be here. And as we have already shared with all many other people, that WFP has got the footprints in all the 14 regions. Wherever you call, you will hear WFP has put up something here to assist the government, to meet government halfway, because that's our mandate. If government was not accommodating us in Namibia, we wouldn't have been here, right? But because of that, Katie, we are also saying, with the little that we have, and with all our partners, we are going to join hands and help government to meet the needs, especially in the agriculture space. So we are very happy to be here. And I'm also very happy to indicate to this community, like I said in one of the days, that you will come back. And now we are back. And we would want to introduce now the partners to WFP, the partners to the government, because this is a government project supported by the World Food Program with her partners. And it's now my opportunity to introduce our partners to this project. Can I call here with me here, Dr. Daniel Curry. Please, Dr. Daniel, move over here. Dr. Daniel Curry is the resident director for the BS Group Foundation, and he has come here with his team. He's going to deliver his speech, don't worry. When you have a project, all right? When you have a project, you think through that project and you ask yourself, if this project were to be implemented, what will it mean to the beneficiaries? And once you have the answer, then you are able to knock on other people's doors, because now you have to motivate, why are you looking for that money, right? So we thought about this community. And we really, when we came here, we could see from the faces of this community, but it is a community that needs assistance. It's a community that would want to it to be thrived. So WFP then said to Minister of Agriculture, our main great partner in this country, what is it that we should do for that community? Then the ministry said, okay, they will put up the water plus other basic needs, right? Because they have so many babies to take care of. Then they said, all right, for WFP, look for your partners and try to put that project of Bernafe back to where it was some years back. And you add other components. So we surveyed. And then we beefed up our project proposal, right? We looked at women, because WFP, one of the beneficiaries that we look at mostly, the women, the youth, and the vulnerable communities. That is how we shared the main objectives of the project, which is Bernafe Integrated Food Systems. And then we would want to see this, for now, let me call it a settlement, right? We would want it to become a smart village in the context of WFP, where you have various components of projects happening here, including weaving, because you are very good with your hands, right? Is it not so? You have to knit and everything else, right? So we would want to see this project growing. But it should not grow by itself. It should grow because you are determined to see this project, right? Moving from point A to point Z. And our partners. This community is very amazing. They are very well organized. You will find some communities fighting among themselves and so forth. This community is well organized. You will hear when their project coordinator will be talking, because they have even a bank account. Because as from the financial world, we talk about money, right? We just need to continue providing skills so that they manage their finances in a better way, because we would want this project to be a successful project. I'm not going to talk about how much each of us thus far have contributed to this project, because I leave that one to the keynote address. Otherwise, I will spoil the keynote address, right? But for now, thank all of us for the contribution that we have made thus far and more to come.
And that was Madam Erica Safuda. And she's detailing how they came or to join this program in ensuring that it happened. But the key word for me in Madam Safuda is their transition. Is their transition what the sea highlighted? What the sea highlighted that they transformed the World Food Program. That the World Food Program shifted from or moving from the humanitarian support to system strengthening. That is key for me. And when you look at the humanitarian support, it's where like you donate food, you give this and this. And it's so good to say they shifted from that to strengthen or to support system strengthening and for provision of technical assistance and on-demand services to government, state-owned enterprises, and other developmental agenda. And this is now so key because as we move, as we try to find better ways to empower our community to do what is so different, to do what is so different is for us to find how can we empower Namibian people in a way that suits them, in a way that make a difference. And I'm so glad the World Food Program was able to reinvent themselves in line with the condition of the Namibian community. Because this Namibian community do not need donation of food. No, they need to be self-sufficient and independent among themselves. And that's why it's so beautiful to read what Ms. Safuda said, that they have shifted their agenda or the way they do things. To say that they have moved from humanitarian support rather to supporting system strengthening and providing technical assistance. You know, for me, those are the keywords. And if you do those, you now ultimately ensure that the people at risk, either of food insecurity or malnutrition, are able to reach food sufficiency effectively and sustainably because they are able to produce their own food. So for me, that was so key that this strategic shift will contribute or will keep strengthening now climate resilient food system that will now be able to be the catalyst of rural economic transformation, self-reliance, and will empower empower national institutions or ministries and also communities to be able to respond and become resilient to climate shocks or budgetary shocks or anything. Because when you give people capacity, they are able to do things on their own. So for me, that was a key word. And it's so beautiful actually to hear that an institution has transformed itself to be able to meet the Namibian condition. Rather than just saying, no, we are World Food Program, we do things this way. No, they transitioned or they have transformed themselves in line with what the Namibian community need or seek at this particular juncture.
Firstly, I want to thank the Ministry of Agriculture, WFP, and all the stakeholders who make it this dream possible for us. We are very grateful. Secondly, to all the partners, sponsors, we vow as a hardworking and a well-organized community to use this opportunity to become the dream of self-sustainability. There are many things that we want to achieve, but if you don't stand together, holding hands and move together, we will never achieve it. So we already have that movement forward. We already see the way forward. And all the things that were spoken about, we already see that we will reach it and we will become a sustainable project and a successful project. Lastly, I want to thank all the stakeholders once again for all what we have achieved so far. We had an orchard, we had a borehole drill, and we had water here. WFP and the government, we also thank you for repairing our tractor as new. And in the absence of the company Sky Dripping Irrigation that was here, sent here, which put up the nursery and the drip irrigation system on the other side, which we are planning to plant for the next planting season. So, by all means, we promise as a community that we will hold together, stand together, move together, and be a successful project. Our main aim is to reduce the unemployment rate in Namibia and to contribute to the economy of our country.
So, beautiful people, it was your business and economic segment, and that last speaker, it's actually the chairperson of Pharma, of the integrated Pharma, which was empowered, where more than 180 community, 14 families, which comprises of 108 individuals, not just individual, previously disadvantaged community, benefited from the resettlement program in 2002, and it led to a certain community, it led to government coming through, it led to the private sector coming through, the BS group coming through with 300,000 to contribute to the installation of the irrigation system, Namdia Foundation coming through 150,000, which was used to train the community member in terms of value addition and equipment, and the World Food Program coming through 200,000, conducting the baseline study and the agri inputs and the establishment of the OCAD, as well as for continuous support. So for me, that is a case study of what we need to do going forward. For me, that is how we supposed to do going forward. So there is a case study. There is how we're supposed to do. You have listened to the speakers. You have listened to how it was documented and how it was realized that growing the economy, redefining empowerment, coming up with projects that talk to the people on the ground, not you coming from somewhere else and implementing something different or something new, but you doing something that is in line with what the communities are looking for and tailoring the services or the solution to their needs and to how do they live. So for me, this was a beautiful program, and we are glad the Minister of Agriculture agreed for us to document it and to make it a case study for us to air and for everybody to listen, either to learn something and for us to keep changing our approach, especially when it comes to empowerment and investment. So, colleagues, this was the business and economic segment. And the business and economic segment is here every day, Monday to Friday. And as we have highlighted early this week, that we are restructuring the way that we want to do things. You as an entrepreneur, you as a corporate, you as a ministry, you as an NGO, let us improve the way that we communicate to each other. I know social media is there. I know the media is writing that and that and it's happening. But we can also create the synergies among ourselves. We created the platform called Digital FM. It's not only to point the fingers to say who is failing, who is doing great, but also to document certain case studies that we are doing well, that we are trying. And for you as an entrepreneur is to look at what the particular good are you selling, what the particular service are you offering. There in Tintabis, wherever you are, there in Betani, there in Hibian, wherever you are finding yourself, you have your 30 minute here that you can buy, and the other 30 minutes is for free. Come and talk to your client, come and reach new market. Let us create the synergy and build the economy the way that we want. And goods and services, transaction only happens when the information flow is efficient. You might not be selling the amount of good that you want. And it's not because your good or your service are bad. It's just the communication. Are you talking to your client? Are you informing well? Are you engaging them? Maybe change the way that you're marketing yourself. And that's why now we have reached almost every corner of this country through our app. You can listen to us from wherever in this country. And if the radio is off, the app is never off. The website is never off. If you do not have data, you can always switch on your radio. And that's why we're saying that this platform is for you to come and talk about your good and your services. We are now utilizing Eagle FM as a catalyst, as a bridge to get to the other side of the market. Building that inclusive economy, expanding, reaching new height in terms of your market and your sectoral or your market share. And man, I think we have to move from just complaining and pointing fingers. We have just to stop crying and create the synergy among ourselves so that we do what needs to be done and grow together as a community, as a country, and as individuals. And with that, colleagues, thank you so much for choosing us today. Thank you to the Minister of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform. Thank you to NDTC, to Namdia, to the Beers. I'm so happy that they came through and invest in such a community. I'm truly happy. Those are the type of empowerment that I really aspire, or I encourage other corporate to do. Donating once is not sustainable, but creating means for people to be on their own tomorrow and the rest of the day, I think is the way to go. And we should be flexible in such matters. We should be able to work together and to deliver the collective goal of building the Namibian economy and building an inclusive economy. Yes, my name is Kanjiko Kamekulu Nkwanyoka, and this was the business and economic segment for today. Take care and have a very good night.